Turn now, if you will, to John 21. A couple of disclaimers here, qualifications before I begin. One is this is not a Mother's Day sermon, though mothers and children, it's an important message because it's a message of reconciliation, of making things right with God and making things right with one another. And there's no better message for us as we think of our families and our friends and loved ones. But secondly, as we work right now through Jesus' post-resurrection, pre-ascension ministry, his ministry between the resurrection, before he ascended to heaven, we're in John 21, and late last night, sitting in the kitchen with Betsy, I decided points 1 through 3 were too much, so point 3 will be next week. So we only have points 1 and 2, so I'm going to read for you John 21, 9 through 17. Verse 9, of course, taking us back to last week's section, which will help bring us up to the particular subject for today. So I'm going to read John 21, 9 through 17. When they got out on land, this is again, Jesus has risen from the dead. He has now appeared to them in Galilee. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. They came and took the bread, and Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Father, as we consider this holy and divine meeting between Jesus and Peter, it is our prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Jesus continues this ministry. He had, I think, a unique and interesting and encouraging ministry to his disciples after his resurrection and before his ascension. And this is part of it, as John tells us. He's continuing in this to illustrate the call to discipleship, the call to follow him, to walk in the path he places before us. But he also shows us that he's committed to us. He's committed to make us into the people, the children, the flock, the sheep that he wants us to be. He's more committed than we are to that, to making us through the moment by moment, ordinary parts of our day, day by day, to making us who he wants us to be. He illustrates that in this episode. Now again, we have 2 points. We're going to look at the first section, 9 through 14. And this is going to be a little shorter. It's just I've called it the place of leadership. This particular story focuses on Peter. And even here in just this story, and again, I really covered the content of this section last time. I'm going to point out a couple of things about Peter, though, this time, and about our Lord that helps us get a sense for what he's doing and what his purpose is for this interaction with his apostle. First, just a very minor point, but nevertheless, it shows a leader. We're told that Jesus said in verse 10, you can look there, it says, bring some of the fish you've caught. And then 11 says, Simon Peter, he went on board and he hauled the net ashore. Remember, it was so full it should have broken, but it didn't. But Peter, out of these seven, any of them could have done it, but we're said Peter. He takes the initiative, he goes out, he pulls the net in, 153 fish. Something had to be done, he did it. The Lord said, bring in the fish. And Peter does it. Pretty simple. A good leader is going to be a good follower first. And it seems Peter doesn't need to ask. He simply hears the Lord's command. Hey, bring the fish in. And he does so. Jesus commands, he obeys. Simple, but profound point. But there's even more going on here. And I want to direct you to verse 9. It says, they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place. Of course, Jesus would have been standing there beside it. He had already laid out fish and bread on it. A charcoal fire. A charcoal fire is only mentioned twice in the New Testament. If you want to turn a couple of pages to John 18, 18, you'll notice the other time that it's mentioned in the New Testament. In John 18, 18, Peter is outside the high priest's residence in his garden. And he is actually in view of Jesus, as we're going to see in a moment. And we're told in 18, 18, now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Peter had seen a charcoal fire, and he had stood around one just a few weeks before. Again, a little more sword drill here. If you want to turn to Luke 22, 60 and 61. We're still there around the charcoal fire. Luke 22, 60 and 61. Peter is asked, hey, you're one of his followers, aren't you? Verse 60. Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus has taken the initiative to help this leader deal with the past. A leader deals with the past, and Jesus, as our chief leader, he has a charcoal fire prepared. Can you imagine as Peter sees him there, walks up, perhaps his own mind and heart went back a week or two before as he stood warming himself over that other charcoal fire. That night, he had reached his low point. Sin's serious. He had to go out and weep bitterly. And we're not told that there's been any reconciliation. If you think back to what we've looked at the past few weeks, Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room. And he appears to them again with Thomas, but Peter's name isn't mentioned. I imagine Peter kind of standing over to the back of the crowd and just sort of looking as Jesus appears. And then as he appears again, we're told Thomas, there's Thomas and Jesus, but I still think Peter, he's kind of sitting back there. He's glad, I mean, he's glad the Lord's back. But I imagine he kind of paces behind the other 10, looking at his Lord. His name isn't mentioned yet. But here, there's a charcoal fire, and his Lord is serving him fish and bread for breakfast. Does Peter give up? Should he give up? Sin serious? Should it make us give up? No, Peter has to be restored. Jesus is about to restore him. For useful service to the Lord, we have to be restored. We have to be made right with God. Our relationship with the one whom we've offended must be made right. We're actually told in another part of Scripture, Jesus taught your worship, as you come here to worship, make things right. Be reconciled to God, be reconciled also to one another, that your worship may not be hindered, that your prayers may not be hindered. Your relationship with me, vertical, your relationship with one another, horizontal, these must be dealt with so that you can worship me properly and so that you can be equipped, prepared for useful service in my kingdom. And so we're going to see here in the next part, the reconciling and the restorative power of the gospel at work on display. There is a place for leadership. Doing what's got to be done. Peter did what had to be done. But also our Lord's doing what's got to be done. He's helping Peter deal with the past. Number two, there is a purpose in our restoration. Now we're going to talk more about the restoration at first. Then we'll spend a moment or two at the end talking about the purpose. But the purpose of restoration in 15 through 17. After breakfast, and I think J.C. Ryle says, oh, if all of our after breakfast conversations were this poignant, this serious, this filled with gospel. Jesus, after breakfast, takes Simon Peter, and he goes back to his original name. He's not calling him Peter here. Here they are back at the original place where he called them, these fishermen, to be fishers of men. And he says, Simon, son of John. Do you love me more than these? He says it again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He says it a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? You know, in the Bible, when they say things twice, it means emphasis. When they say things three times, it means, hey, get your antenna up and listen. Jesus has business to do with Peter. Does it seem harsh? He asked him three times. He's in front of the charcoal fire. Surely Peter is getting the idea. Well, you know what? It says he was grieved the third time. I bet you the Lord was grieved a couple of weeks ago when his apostle disowns him and actually calls down curses. I bet he grieved the Lord before it grieved Peter. To be restored in this painful fashion. Now, he says that first time, he says, do you love me more than these? Grammatically, there's a couple of different ways to take it. I take it, he's saying, do you love me more than these guys love me? Because you know what? You ought to. Because remember, what did Peter say? Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. He says, Lord, I'll even go to the death for you. But what did Peter do? He denied him three times, even calling down curses, we're told in one of the denials. But here he is, being restored to the Lord. He who's forgiven much is expected to love much. So Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Now, interesting, he says, do you love me? He doesn't come and say, hey, Peter, you really blew it, didn't you, a couple weeks ago. Don't blow it again. I mean, you're my right-hand man. You're going to go preach, and the church is going to unfold. No. He says, do you love me? Do you love me? Our love for Christ is important. Our affection for Jesus is important. We can have right knowledge. We can know the Bible, can't we, and not love Jesus? We can be very orthodox in our beliefs and yet not have affection for the Lord. We can live very externally moral and upright lives and not love Jesus one bit. And so he says, do you love me? Do you, friends, love Jesus? You may be weak, I know. You may be fearful, ignorant of so many things, failing all the time. But do you love Jesus? If you have a sincere love for Jesus, then there's hope for you. Because I said at the beginning, he's more committed to making you who he wants you to be than you are. Do you love Jesus today? The question's for us also. Now, each time he answers it, we could almost miss this. What does he say each time? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Again, do you remember a few weeks ago? Jesus says to him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. In another account, he says, Satan's asked to sift you like wheat, Peter, but I've prayed for you. What does Peter say? No, Lord, you don't know. You don't know me, Lord. I will stand firm even to death. I think Peter's learned a lesson, hasn't he? He says, you know. And the great thing about it, isn't it, he's acknowledging Jesus' sovereignty, his knowledge, but he's also saying, you know what? If you really do know, then you know that I did blow it, but you know that I love you. Because you know all things. So Peter, I mean, if he's saying this to the Lord, do you get it? He's saying, Lord, you know, I do. I do love you. And you know what? You know it. You know it. He understands. He's learned that lesson. Scotty Smith, who was my pastor in Nashville for a few years in Franklin, Tennessee, he says, Jesus didn't hurry the process of Peter's restoration. The Savior asked three times for affirmation of the apostle's love, reflecting Peter's three denials during Christ's passion. Gospel surgery is free, but not always easy. Grace produces redemptive pain, not punitive pain, but pain is still painful. Indeed, the gospel brings an end to all deadening worldly grief, but the gospel is the beginning of enlivening godly grief. The law condemns, the gospel convicts. The law creates self-centered tears. Gospel creates God-centered tears. And so Jesus is restoring Peter to himself. He's taken the initiative. He's done it in a very patient and poignant way. And so, again, I said in the terms of our Mother's Day sermon here, what better message for all of us? Be restored to God and be restored to one another. The love of Jesus is the key. And so Jesus has a response to Peter. He asks him the question, Peter answers, Jesus says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Peter, you gotta be restored to me. We gotta get this relationship secure because you have sheep to feed. You have lambs to tend to. You have people who need you. So do what you're called to do now, Peter. And that's the same thing for us. What is your calling? Your vocation as Christians is to love God, love our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourself, and then to do our daily duties with love for Jesus and love for neighbor, being useful servants of the Lord in whatever vocation He calls us, that's an acceptable vocation before the Lord. For Peter, it was tend to God's flock as the church begins to grow and as the New Testament continues to be written. And as those are brought in, the lambs are brought into the fold. The lost sheep are brought back. Now, R.C. Sproul points out, and I'll just give a brief moment to this. He says, he neither says, feed the goats, nor does he say, tend your flock. In other words, he says, Peter, your primary goal now is going to be God's sheep. Now, there's going to be evangelism where he calls out and then the flock's brought in. But his primary mission is to take God's, not his, not Peter's sheep. Jesus says, my sheep. Find my sheep. Tend to them. This hour of the week, for us, every week, this is for the sheep. This is for the sheep. This is why we concentrate on encouraging one another, on the sheep, the flock being built up, so we can go out and find those who don't know the Lord and bring them in. If we get fed here, if we're tended to appropriately, if our elders lead and teach and our deacons serve, we'll be mobilized to be a ministry in this world. And so do what you're called to do. Don't let your sin sideline you any longer. The grand test of our love for Christ, having been reconciled to Him, is doing what He calls us to do. Now I want to close just for a moment thinking, just for a moment, the purpose of restoration. We just said, He tells Peter, remember Peter in the Gospels. He's impulsive. He talks before listening. He says things that just aren't true. He fails. But in the Acts of the Apostles, as we're told, he preaches the good news faithfully. He's told, you got to stop this or you're going to go to jail, and he preaches it anyway. And then in 1 Peter, and I really don't have time to go there, if you look at 1 and 2 Peter, you have this gentle shepherd who knows that the lamb was slain and that his blood is washed as clean, and that therefore he tells other shepherds, tend the flock, tend them gently, but also root out the false teachers. He tells us that we're a holy priesthood. I would say go there this afternoon, maybe. Look at the reinstated, the restored Peter. He followed God's purpose for him. He preached and the church grew, and he wrote these epistles that we have in as Scripture, showing us what happens when one is restored to God. Brothers and sisters, Jesus says, do you love me? For those who have been forgiven of our sins, we love much because we're forgiven much. Jesus paid our debt. He suffered for us that we might be washed clean, justified through His blood, raised up anew, called as children, given new life. Lord, you knowest all things. You know that we love you. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for recording this story for us, for our edification. Grow each of us in this room our love for Jesus. Maybe those who came in here and didn't love him. I pray we would leave with love for him can.